Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. I think I'm gonna have one more next week, but a very special Christmas edition of Sports Urban Legend. Oh, my co-host Macaulay Matthew. I'm of course with my mom. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
I'm doing okay. I mean, I'm feeling a little under the weather, but other than that, I'm doing all right. But today's show, we're gonna talk about the Gerrit Cole signing, and you know what else is going on in the hot stove. The Mets restructuring Yoenis Cespedes' contract, and you know what moves they should do as a result of that. I guess we'll talk about the Knicks. Recent play, this holiday season. Also talk about WWE, you know, the TLC pay-per-view, our thoughts, you know, about the pay-per-view. And, you know, an unlikely alliance that, you know, stemmed from it on SmackDown. But, you know, most importantly, and of course NFL as well. But most importantly, you know, we'd love to hear from you. You know, if you'd like to give us a call. And yeah, with that said, let's start with the Gerrit Cole introduction. And you know, he started off his introduction on the right track, because He surprised a lot of people by bringing the fan sign that he created, I think in the 2001 World Series, you know, when the Yankees, you know, battled the D-backs that series. And he had photographed back in 2001 holding up a sign saying, you know, Yankee fan, you know, today, Yankee fan forever. I mean, to paraphrase what he said. He brought that actual sign. It got discolored. But it was actually literally the same sign he saved all those years.
In
so it was
closet.
A nice. Oh, what did you say?
In his closet.
Yeah. So, you know, it was a nice touch that, you know, he held onto that poster near and dear to him. And, you know, Yankees gave him 324 reasons to fulfill his destiny and finally put on the Yankee pinstripes as an actual player. So, you know, he had his press conference, but, you know, most importantly, you know, being the diehard Yankee fan on the show, what's your thoughts on the whole introduction? And what do you think Gerrit Cole has to do in order to solidify himself as a true Yankee?
Well, I mean, I saw highlights of the introduction. I didn't see like the full thing, but I did see, you know, the of course his, you know, him talking to the reporters, him answering their questions, and then this, you know, him bringing out that old sign that he had from his childhood when he brought it to the 2000 World Series. It was a great introduction. You know, he said everything right. And, you know, all he has to do now is just win. You know, for him to solidify, you know, himself in Yankee history, to earn those pinstripes, he's got to pitch big in the postseason and win us a championship. I mean, if he does that, he's a Yankee, you know. He could win 20 games in the regular season. But if he doesn't win the big game in the postseason, then it's never going to matter. You know, he idolized Andy Pettit, you know, growing up. So he's got to pitch like Andy Pettit, because you know when Andy Pettit got to October, the game won.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he, for him to win the hearts of Yankee fans, he's got to bring us that title and pitch perfect in the postseason. Well, not pitch perfect in the postseason, but he's got to be money in the postseason, just like that contract we gave him.
Yeah, you know, when you say perfect, you're not meaning a Don Larson.
No, not a perfect game, you know, but just pitch well enough to win us, you know, pitch big in the postseason. Be that ace that we've been longing for, you know, for the last few years. So hopefully he can give us that, you know. But it was a great week. It was Gerrit Cole week, pretty much.
And, I mean, I totally agree with you. Okay, so, look, okay, here's the – so – for him to be a true Yankee, he doesn't have to win multiple championships. He just needs to win one and pitch well in the
postseason. Yeah, if he wins just one championship, that'd be good. That'd be good. I mean, of course, with that contract, you expect him to win more, you know, bring us more championships. But if he wins one here this year, this upcoming year, you know, he'll definitely put himself in Yankee history and, you know, win the hearts of the Yankee fans.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you. I mean, all he has to do, it's kind of like Bryce Harper with the Phillies. He signed a massive 13-year contract. But, you know, if he brings them a title, you know, that huge, you know, huge contract, you know, will be worth it. And same thing for Gerrit Cole. You know, he has a huge deal, you know, nine years, 324. He wins a title. You know, he'll definitely solidify himself as a Yankee. I wouldn't say he'd be an all-time great Yankee, you know, kind of like LeBron James signing with the Lakers. You know, for him to be an all-time great Laker, he had to bring the Lakers a dynasty. Obviously, he hasn't won a title yet with the Lakers. I mean, he had a horrible year, injury-plagued year last year, his first season. This year, they're the second best team only to the Bucks, who the Bucks are going to be, you know, they're whooping the Knicks behind. That's something I saw today. But, yeah, for me, Gerrit Cole, I agree with you. He has to win a title to put himself as a Yankee, to be a true Yankee. But for him to be on the upper echelon, Monument Park Yankee, he has to win a couple of titles.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely does. So.
Dynasty would put him in that level, because, you know, on the other side of you know, the city with the Mets, you win a title or you at least get the Mets to the World Series. You're golden in this city. You win a championship, which is even rare, you know, in Queens. You made it. You know what I'm saying? But with the Yankees, the standard is different. You know, going to the World Series is not enough. Winning it all is what it's all about.
Definitely, definitely. So we'll see. You know, we'll see. It'll be a great next season next year. A lot of expectations for Cole.
Mm-hmm.
See if he lives up to those expectations.
And, you know, the Yankee fans like yourself are hungry because this past decade was the first time since, the 1910s. Well, I should say since the 1980s, since the Yankees haven't went to the World Series, but this is also the first decade since the 1910s that the Yankees haven't won a World Series. So I did say that right. So no wait, did I say that right?
No,
1980s they didn't win a championship. This was the first time they didn't go to the World Series since 1980s. And this would be this
no,
is the
since
first
the 1910s,
time.
You mean?
Yeah, no, wait. This is the first time they – wait, let me think. It is 1910s because they did go in 81. What am I trying to – this is something I'm trying to – this is something in the 80s. I mean, they went to the
– they didn't win in the 80s.
They didn't win in the 80s.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is what I'm trying to say. Let me rephrase what I'm saying. This is the first time they did not win a championship in a decade since the 1980s.
Right.
But this is the first time they didn't go to the World Series since the 1910s.
Correct.
There you go. Let's put that asterisk star to make sure. Because I'm like, wait a minute. I'm definitely saying the opposite way because that doesn't That mathematically doesn't make sense. So I had to correct myself as I'm talking. Call it audible, but yes. You heard the deal. So the Yankees are definitely, you know, they're trying to, you know, get that 28 World Series.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens in October. And shifting gears from one local diehard New York baseball fan to another, Rick Porcello, you know, the former Detroit Tiger and former Boston Red Sox, who, you know, helped the Red Sox win a championship in 2018. You know, he's a local kid who also came home to New York. I mean, obviously the pressure pales in comparison to what Garrett Cole is facing, you know, in pinstripes. But Rick Porcello, you know, he's historically been a good pitcher prior to last year, where he kind of was, you know, analytic conscious and changed his pitching style and repertoire, and you know, he got lit up like a Christmas tree this past year. But you know, he's motivated to turn his season around. He signed a 1-year, $10 million contract. Grew up a Mets fan. You know, especially the 2000 Met team was you know, a very integral team that he followed, you know, as a kid. And, you know, like Andy Pettit was to Garrett Cole, Al Leiter was that for Rick Porcello. And Leiter even, basically reached out to him to try to, you know, get him to be a Met. And according to Porcello, the Mets were the first team that reached out to him, and that was the team he zeroed in on, because, you know, he watched the progress of the young team, you know, from the outside looking in, when as a member of the Red Sox, you know, the hungry young team of Pete Alonso, the reigning rookie of the year, who hit 53 home runs, set the record, a Met and rookie record, of course. And of course, Jeff McNeil, who had a phenomenal season that everybody thought he would just be a, you know, a table setter, a leadoff or a two hitter, but then he morphed and hit 23 home runs, you know, similar to Daniel Murphy after he left the Mets and went to the Nationals. You got Rosario finally living up to that hype that, you know, the Mets had for him. And then, of course, you know, you got the starting pitching, you know, with the Gromlin back-to-back Cy Young Award winners, arguably still the best pitcher in the game. I know you think Garrett Cole is right now that he magically put on the pinstripe, but I guess we'll talk about that in a few seconds. But yeah, they got they had one of the best starting rotations in the game last year. They did take a huge hit, losing, you know, a young flamethrower in Zach Wheeler. But if Porcello could regain his form, maybe not his 2016 form. I mean, that'd be amazing. But I think that might be asking too much for him. I think he's 31 years old. So, I mean, it's theoretically not mathematically impossible. But, you know, if he could get us anything close to that 2016 version of Rick Porcello. And then not to mention they signed Michael Wacha, who was a phenomenal pitcher with the Cardinals several years ago, especially in 2013, you know. If they could get anything out of those guys and then the bullpen somehow improves, which to me I think they should sign Bud Tanzas at the minimum, if they could make some improvements with this bullpen and Diaz and Familiar can bounce back from this horrible season, you know, Mets could, you know, surprise some team. But then again, as of right now, they're the fourth best team in their division because everybody in the NL East has improved. So we'll see what happened with that. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, the Mets definitely need some bullpen help. and you know, some probably some more power in the lineup too. You know, some more pop. There's some guys out there that they can go after or trade for. Their Cubs are trying to trade away Schwarber, whatever his name is. Yeah, so I mean, maybe, you know, Mets do have some pieces in the minor leagues to trade, so maybe they could trade for those guys, add more power to the lineup, you know?
Yeah, I don't see that happening. I mean, you know, they've been rumored to going after Marte from, you know, from Pirates, or even in a lesser extent, you know, Lindor from the Indians. But, you know, all those rumors are basically dead right now, because, you know, all these teams want to get Jeff McNeil, which to me, I think he's untradeable. He's to me right there. He's right up there with Alonso, Conforto. I would even put Rosario. I would say he's borderline untradeable. And of course, you know, you got DeGrom, of course.
Right.
I would put Syndergaard in there. But yeah, I think those guys should be untradeable for the Mets, untouchable for the Mets, because you want to improve this offense, you want to improve this team in every possible way, and you cannot subtract a young, talented guy in McNeil, inexpensive guy in McNeil, homegrown Met, you know, and you get rid of him, and yeah, you could get you'll upgrade. But as you know, as you're very familiar with, you know, defense wins champions, and homegrown guys, you know, you need homegrown guys to win the title. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So,
true.
Not to mention, of course, you need that, you know, wily veteran to lead the young guys to the promised land. But you definitely need homegrown guys. You can't have a mercenary your team full of you know, mercenaries coming for the highest bidder. You need some homegrown guys who are hungry, talented, and want to put whatever city they're playing for on the map. So
I agree. Definitely need to, you know, continue to build from the minors. You know, they got some nuggets in McNeil and again, the other guy's name already.
Alonso,
you know. Those guys are going to be stars in this league. So hopefully, you know, they can continue to groom some of these players that they have in the minors, and they can come up and, you know, help the Mets out.
Absolutely. And here's my solution to how the Mets can improve the team. One, sign Dylan Betances. I think that's it. You know, they definitely have to do that. Two, you know, which goes back to the Betances estate. They, you know, because Cespedes injured himself, you know, years ago on a horse breaking the contract.
Mm-hmm.
The Mets restructured his contract a few days ago, which basically, instead of him getting paid a little over $29 million, he's going to be paid as low as $6 million. You know,
wow.
That's a huge pay cut.
That's a huge pay cut.
To him, for him, like, you know, he does have the potential to make back up to $20 million in incentives if he regains his form, the form that he bragged about to Eduardo Perez, who a few days ago Eduardo Perez revealed that Cespedes confided in him during when Eduardo Perez was one of the finalists for the Mets job, which ultimately was won by Carlos Beltran. And apparently he confided in him, you know, during that time that he feels like he's gonna hit like 52 home runs, and basically he's gonna play at least 140 games. He feels like he's gonna regain his form. So, you know, a lot of teams have been calling the Mets to see what they could get for Cespedes. So, you know how Cespedes is. When it's a walk year, and you know, he gonna be a free agent. That's when he shows up and, you know, puts up big numbers. So, you know, that's something to keep an eye out for. So, you know, that's one thing. Two, they need to sign a backup catcher who has like leadership skills, like let's say a Russell Martin, even though he's, you know, he's up there, he's a little over the hill. Or you sign a young promising guy like Castro, you know, who's a free agent, you know, who's a decent you know, throws out base runners. So they definitely need a backup catcher, you know, to provide some leadership, you know, in that position. And the main thing, I mean, they just need to fix this bullpen. You know, it would be great to improve the offense if they could get a guy like you know, Marte or Lindor or somebody like that. But yeah, this team definitely needs to be improved on all facets of the game.
Oh yeah,
to take them to that next level, because they were a really talented team. But if they would have just had a decent bullpen, you know, they could have made some noise in the playoffs. But it is what it is. But shifting gears, football, the Giants, Daniel Jones is going to return back at quarterback after Eli Manning turned back the clock and won what could have been his last game of his career as a starter or even as a Giant. And, you know, kudos to him, you know, Eli Manning, man. He turned back that fountain of youth and led your guys to the victory. What was your thoughts? Mac, you still here? I guess Mac is speechless about the performance. But in any case, I guess he'll come back when he can. But in any case, yeah, I think it's a good move that they bring back Daniel Jones. You know, if he's healthy right now, they should put him back and let you know, Manning right off into the sunset. And if Jones has a setback, then you put Eli back in, you know, into the game. But to me, I think Manning had his storybook ending. He finished his career, well, potentially as of right now, because Manning did not reveal his retirement. But if he would retire, playing his last game in the Meadowlands in front of the faithful Giant fans who've seen his entire career unfold, I mean, I think it would be a great storybook ending to what, you know, was a lost season for the Giants. But, you know, we'll see what happens there. Shifting, you know, to the Jets. You know, the Jets, they're going to try to get a victory, you know, over the Steelers. They're going to be on the road. It's going to be tough for them. You know what I mean? Steelers, you know, as usual, is a good team. And, you know, the Jets, you know, they're trying to prove something. And, you know, hopefully they could pull an upset and get a victory, you know, in Pittsburgh. And then afterwards, you know, after that, the final week, 17, you know, they're gonna you know, go on the road against the Bills, who just clinched a playoff spot, of course, along with the Patriots. So it would be great if the Jets could somehow steal both games and finish strong, but I don't think the odds are are in their favor. But you know, that's why we play the games, to see what happens. So yeah, we'll definitely see what happens after next week. But speaking of WWE, basically, you know, they had the pay-per-view event last week, and most notably Bray Wyatt. You know, he defeated The Miz in his Firefly Funhouse version of his character. And as expected, Bray Wyatt won. But what was surprising was Daniel Bryan showed off his new look, you know, attacking Bray Wyatt after Bray Wyatt successfully defended his title against, The Miz, which was not a surprise at all. And then on SmackDown, they teamed up. Miz and Daniel Bryan, arguably for the first time ever, maybe they might have teamed up reluctantly during the NXT version, like when he was just before they were Nexus, when they were doing that whole show back in the days when yep. Daniel Bryan first showed up. Hey Mac, you here?
Yeah. Huh?
Good to have you back, man.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah, glad to have you back, man. Right now I'm talking about WWE, and I basically was saying that, you know, this is probably the first time that I was telling them how, you know, Bray Wyatt, you know, defeated The Miz as we both expected.
Yep.
And basically The Miz and Daniel Bryan tag team on SmackDown. And I was thinking in my head, this is probably the first time they both tag team together. Maybe they could have tag team like during that, remember that NXT, like what was it? Probably season one, the season one of, what was it? NXT, the show? Remember the show that they had?
I'm trying to remember.
Before they formed Nexus. When The Miz was his teacher, maybe they could have tag team at that time. I'm not sure. I think they fought each other.
I know they fought a million times, but I don't remember them tag teaming.
Yeah, I don't think they've ever tag teamed before because they've always been on opposing sides. This is the first time they've both been baby faces.
Yeah.
They might have been heels at the same time, but they still didn't like each other. But this is the first time that they're both on the same page.
Right.
You know, so that's just definitely a match. I definitely got to see
how. Well, that match had a TLC between Wyatt and Miz. I mean, that match was garbage, man. We all knew that Wyatt was going to dominate him.
Oh, yeah. The only surprise was that Daniel Bryan popped up, you know,
right.
And attacked him.
With a haircut.
Yeah. Well, he did kind of tease that he was going to get a haircut when they dragged him down into hell and he was ripping out his hair.
Right.
But, yeah, Daniel Bryan haven't looked like that since his NXT days when Miz was his mentor. You would have thought he would look worse, like, since he was being tortured and brutalized for, like, at least a week or so.
Yeah, he did look like a brand-new person.
Yeah, you thought he would be, like, messed up. I think WWE kind of dropped the ball there.
Yeah, I didn't get it.
He should at least look like he got beat up badly and tortured. And then after SmackDown, after, you know, like, I guess almost a week later, he shows up like how he looked on SmackDown.
Right, right.
Like, he's better or something. But him being tortured and attacked, and then he comes back, you know, like, stronger than ever.
They dropped the ball on that. I don't understand what the point that was.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like nothing ever happened.
Yeah, there's a rumor that there's going to be a Fiend versus Fiend match, which I'm guessing that's going to be dumb as an idea as Undertaker versus Undertaker from like.
Well, how are you gonna have that? They gonna split.
I guess.
So you got someone pretend to be
the Fiend.
The Fiend when he has a mask.
I guess so. I mean, this is a dumb idea. I hope they don't do this, but knowing WWE, they're gonna do something like this.
That's dumb.
I'm trying to think. Well,
at least the Undertaker versus Undertaker was a guy pretending to be Undertaker, a fake Undertaker, when the real Undertaker was buried in a casket.
Right.
And then the real Undertaker came back and then fought the fake one and ended up, you know, becoming the overall real one in the WWE.
Yeah.
But that was a more interesting storyline than what they're trying to do here, because
mm-hmm.
this is just one person.
Right.
You know? So I don't know. I don't know how to do it. Can do that.
And I'm trying to think of other matches that was on that pay-per-view. There was Roman Reigns versus Braun Strowman. Not Braun Strowman. What am I thinking? Baron Corbin or King Corbin. And, of course, he had a bunch of interference, which led to Corbin winning, which we all knew that's the only way that Corbin could beat Roman Reigns.
Right. I'm not sure it turned out to be better than I expected, you know? Not bad, but I knew Corbin was going to find a way to win.
Yeah, I thought Roman Reigns was going to win, but I should have known that. The only way he could win is potentially if he had a interference, but I thought Roman Reigns would still you know, beat him, but that wasn't the case, especially after, you know, Corbin dropped dog poop all over him.
Yeah.
But in any case,
it was okay. That was an all right match.
Corbin got his butt kicked. Him and Dolph Ziggler got their butt kicked by the aforementioned Miz and Daniel Bryan. I'm trying to think what other matches was there. I think New Day defeat? Was it the Revival? I'm trying to remember who did. No. Was it
New Day defeated the Revival, yeah. It was a Revival. In the ladder match.
So they retained. And Kofi Kingston, you know, he hit the, I'm trying to remember which member was. I think it was Dawson. No, which one? There's Dawson and Wilder, I think, is the other one?
Yeah, Dawson and Wilder. Yeah, correct.
I think Wilder's the ball-headed one, if I remember certain one, right?
It's Scott Dawson and Dash Wilder. Yeah.
So Kofi hit the ball-headed one. I think it's Wilder, if I remember certain right.
I think it is.
You know,
I think it was
with the belt. For whatever reason, it escapes my mind. I usually know that which is which, but
I think it was Wilder though.
He hit him on the head with the belt and, you know, sent him down. But yeah, that was a great match.
That was good.
Oh, what did you say? I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, that was a good match.
And, you know, Kofi and Big E retains. They're still the 7-time WWE Tag Team Champions. Let me see, what are the matches?
Yeah, Bobby Lashley versus Rusev, of course.
Yep. Lashley lost. Won, I should say.
Yeah, as I expected as well.
As expected, because, you know, they won.
No, actually, no. I said Rusev was going to win this
one.
Oh,
yeah, yeah. You did say Rusev was going to win. I thought Lashley would win because I had a feeling they were going to milk this story. And sure enough, they did, because Raw, Lana made Lashley propose to her. Which, I mean, that just goes without saying.
Yeah.
Making a big scene, she's like, yes, just like we rehearsed it. So, yeah, they're getting married, apparently.
Right.
So that storyline's going to continue. Yeah, in this case, man, they're never going to make Bobby Lashley face Brock Lesnar. Because they just keeping him in this mid-card level.
Yeah, I don't. Right now, it doesn't look good for that match to happen.
Yep.
They could have done it when Lashley was a
With Lil Rush.
Yeah.
Leo Rush, I should say. Which he just recently lost his NXT Cruiserweight title.
What did he lose it to?
I can't remember who it was. Let me try to think who it was. Is it Angel Garza? I think I can't remember. I'd have to do the research on who it was.
Okay.
I can't remember who it was. And I think it was SmackDown. They were showing how Andrade and what's her name? Zelina Vega, their partnership is breaking apart.
No, really?
Yeah.
Wow. I missed SmackDown yesterday.
Yeah, well, this happened. I think the week. I think this happened on. I think this happened last week's SmackDown because I didn't watch SmackDown either. I saw some of the highlights. Oh yeah, right. I just remember we hanged out yesterday.
Yeah, exactly.
The Star Wars. So I'm like, yeah, we both. I'm thinking about. I'm like, yeah, we both missed it. And
yeah.
I totally forgot we both saw the movie.
Star
which
Wars,
I'll give a review on that next week. Spoilers, most likely. So you've been warned. And I'll even give my thoughts, I guess spoilers on The Mandalorian also, since the final episode should be coming out next week as well. So I guess I'll be a special Star Wars edition. Mix a little sports in there too. There's some major news that fall down during that, next week. Let me think. What other matches happened in TLC?
You had the Kabuki Warriors against Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair. Did you go over that one?
Oh, no, I didn't go over that one yet.
I actually really liked that match.
Yeah, it was a good match. I'm trying to remember who. I think Kabuki Warriors won. That's what I'm trying to show.
Yeah, they beat them. The Kabuki Warriors beat Charlotte and Becky. They won that match.
And Austin
finally got her revenge on those two.
Yep. And what's the final score of the next game?
That's a good question.
Or maybe actually, I guess we should. What other matches did we not cover in the TLC? Now I think I'm trying to think.
Aleister Black defeated Buddy Murphy.
Yeah, there's no surprise there.
Viking Raiders and OC and ended in a double countout.
That's dumb.
And I think he went over to Azor Black. Buddy Murphy.
Yeah. Black, right, Aleister Black versus Buddy Murphy.
Aleister Black, yeah. Yeah, I think that's about it.
Yeah, that's all I could think of.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess let's move on to the Knicks briefly. They've been playing better a lot lately. They even had the 143 point beatdown of the Hawks, which, I mean, I know me and you have never seen it. I was thinking to my mom, like, I've never seen the Knicks dominate a team like that. And literally, it was true because the last time that happened was like 39 years ago. So we literally never saw it before, something like that happen.
Yeah. That's uncharacteristic of the Knicks.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they gave it 120 points. That's pretty much characteristic of the Knicks in these past 20, well, I wouldn't say 20 years, since, what,
yep.
18 years or so? Well, not maybe not 18, 17. 17 years of the Knicks, they've
right.
been doing that. Ever since Van Gundy left, this has been the identity of the Knicks, man. A team that historically was known for their defense. most recently of the you know, the 90s Knicks, and then that little small sample in 2013, the, you know, that Jason Kidd, Tyson Chandler Knicks team. But other than that, bad play, you know, Knicks plays, you know, synonymous, but we've never seen a Knicks play like the All-Star game. But, you know, these past couple of games, they've reverted back to their old ways.
Yeah, it looks like they lost tonight 103, actually 123-102. Got blown out.
Of course, by the Greek Freak.
Yep. The Bucks are a great team.
They're the best team in basketball right now, for sure. So.
Yeah. Looking that way. They beat the Lakers the other night.
And solidified that the best record in the NBA. So no surprise there. And they beat up on the Warriors recently. But, of course, you know, the Warriors didn't have Steph Curry playing. And, of course, you know, Klay Thompson was gone for the rest of the year. So,
yep.
Which is, you know, surprising how the mighty have fallen. The Warriors, man, they're one of the worst teams in the game, man, in the NBA.
Yeah, injuries, man. Injuries can kill a team.
Yep. And not to mention Durant leaving.
Yep.
Definitely took a toll on the team. But there, this off season for the Warriors, of them, you know, on top of the mountain all the way to the, you know the bottom of the quicksand right now with the Knicks, man. It should be short-lived because, you know, they got, you know, smart people running their organization. So whatever top pick they'll get, you know, they'll put themselves back to it. And not to mention some smart free agent signings, they'll be back to where they've been for the past this decade.
Yeah, they've been, they have talent on their roster. So once those guys come back, Curry and Thompson, they should be fine.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about that. Oh, yeah, and, I spoke about this earlier, but you weren't on the show. So, you know, what's your thoughts on Eli's performance?
I thought Eli had a great game. Well, not great, but, a very good game to end his Giants career. I think now he finishes with a 500 record with that win last week. But, it was a good send-off for him. You know, they had a good game. I mean, of course, it was against the Dolphins, but,
right. You
know, still had a good game. And now we see Daniel Jones starting again this week. So, Eli's family passed the torch to Daniel Jones to, you know, lead this team to hopefully a championship in the near future. But yeah, man, it's kind of sad, you know, to see Eli's last hurrah, but, you know, and it's time to move on, you know? And I don't think Eli will move on to another team. I think, you know, once the season's over, I think he'll just decide to retire.
Yeah, I think so too, because I think that's a perfect way to end his season. You know, he had his last hurrah, like a gunslinger, you know, and he won his final game at home. Potentially his final game at home. You have Daniel Jones start these last two games, and you know, have Eli walk off into the sunset. The only thing that would have made it perfect is if, you know, they would have win the Super Bowl. But other than that, you know, he got the two rings already, so this place is more than secure, you know, with the Giants. So great finish for his career.
It was, yeah.
On top.
Great way to go out, yeah.
And you know, his record is 500. It's not a sub 500 record, so it's even better.
Yep.
Any thoughts about the Jets game versus Steelers tomorrow?
Well, you know, the Steelers defense is a very good defense, so Jets have a lot of I mean, they're going up against a very great team. Well, the Steelers aren't great, but their defense is great. So, you know, they're going to have to be on their A game tomorrow, you know, try to exploit maybe the Steelers' run defense, which is okay, not great. But I think tomorrow they need to run the ball a lot. You know, give Le'Veon the ball. Don't try to throw it against that Steelers secondary because they are good.
Especially against his former team.
Yeah.
You know he's going to be motivated.
Yeah, I see him having a big day tomorrow against his former team. So.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
But right now, Steelers, they're trying to make the playoffs right now. So, yeah, this game is – they're going to play with a sense of urgency tomorrow.
Yeah, no doubt. They're like, what, 8-6?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know the Steelers are going to show up for sure.
Right.
But, hopefully Jets can win these next two games, you know. And then, of course, they're going to be going against the playoff-bound Buffalo Bills for the final week after that.
Yeah, Bills, you know, they had a good game against the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
They almost beat the Patriots today, but they came out short.
Yeah, we'll see what happens for sure. Any last things you'd like to say?
Check out my show next week, iMac, and come back here and check out Sports of a Legend Saturday at his usual time at 11, only a block of radio.
You're the guy. I want to wish you guys a Merry Christmas, a Happy Holidays, and I'll see you guys next week. You know, check out Sports Urban Legend. Should be back at its usual time Saturday at 11. Check out the YouTube channel, Sports Urban Legend TV. And check out iMac every Saturday at 10 on Block Talk Radio. He's a Macaulay Matthew. Merry Christmas again, folks. He's a Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Rummel, and I'll see you guys next week. Happy Holidays.